something that would change somebody's life or impart something to them. And Lord, I thank you for it in advance. Anything that you would do, God, I give you all the but that's all, folks. All the glory and the honor in Jesus' name, amen. I better just get out of this while I can. Oh, that was Porky Pig. That's who that was. Yeah. Oh, Lord. We needed another seat for somebody up here. James chapter 2, verse 10. If you're there, stand to your feet and let's read these verses. The first, let's just read 10 through 13. Are you ready? For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. That kind of levels things up for you right quick, doesn't it? The ground's level, they say, at the foot of the cross. Nobody stands exalted or lifted up. It don't make a difference who you are. We all stand guilty. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. And if he said, do not commit adultery, but do not murder, if you have become a transgressor of the law. Let me reread that because I don't think I read that right. For if he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. How many are glad about that? Mercy triumphs over judgment. Why? You may be seated, by the way. Yeah, just you can be seated. Anybody need a handout? Bill's got some extras. Right here, Bill. Huh? Oh, no, I can't write and do all that. Anybody else? Last call. So, why is a person who commits one sin as guilty as the person who's broken all of God's laws? I'm glad you asked, because James's point here is that no matter what commandment one breaks, that person is guilty of an offense against God. And so I want to read verses 10 and 11 in the Message Bible. I don't spend a whole lot of time in other translations. I'm King James or New King James mostly, but every once in a while I will look just for like a clarification, if you will, or to see if something else shows it up differently or whatever. And so I looked this verse up in the Message Bible, and listen to what it says in James chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. It says, you can't pick and choose in these things, specializing in keeping one or two things in God's law and ignoring others. The same God who said, don't commit adultery, also said, don't murder. If you don't commit adultery but go ahead and murder, do you think your non-adultery will cancel out your murder? No, you're a murderer, period. The bottom line is, we violated God's law. It doesn't matter whether you're stealing penny bubble gum or killing people. What the world has done a very good job at is convincing each one of us of the not really convincing us. Well, maybe convincing, but let me just say it this way, that the world is really good at getting us to categorize sin. What's that? What happens when you murder in the military? That's not murder. That's not murder. There's differences. David killed all kinds of guys. You know, Samson. Look at all the people that Samson. Those are two different categories. That's not murder. Murder is when you go out and you just kill somebody because they made you mad or whatever, or those. That's murder. When you're following the orders and in conflict, and you read about conflict all through the Bible, and there's all kinds of conflict. The prophet of God said to David, I believe it was to David, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's right. That's exactly right. Solomon ended up doing that. But so there, those are different things. But James is pointing out that no matter what the commandment that you break, it's an offense to God. You violated the will of God. How many of you know God has two wills? He has a perfect will, and he has a permissive will. His perfect will is that we would live righteously unto him all the days of our life, and everybody would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's his perfect will. His permissive will is, if you want to go to hell, you can go to hell. That's on you. If you want to do this, that, and the other thing, that's on you. You can do that. God isn't going to, you know, stop. You have a will. Otherwise, we're just robots. Right? So we can't excuse the sin of favoritism by pointing to the rest of the good that we do. Here's your first fill in the blank. Sin is not simply balanced against good. It must be confessed and forgiven. It must be confessed and forgiven. If we've broken one law, we're sinners. How many of you have a family that got brand new babies in it? I mean, brand new ones. The sad truth is, those little babies, when they are born, are sinners. Because it's our nature. They're born into it. We can't decide to keep part of God's law and ignore the rest. It's like getting your driver's license and saying, I'm going to always parallel park correctly, but I'm going to drive 90 miles an hour on the freeway, and so I've got to be I'm good. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Christians must not use these verses to justify living in sin. We dare not say, because I can't keep every demand of God, why even try? Why even try? James reminds us that if we've broken one law, we're sinners. We can't decide to keep part of the law and ignore the rest. Here's another fill in the blank. You can't break the law a little bit. You can't break the law a little bit. If you have broken it at all, you need Christ to pay for your sin. Will you stop? Talking about eating Lay's potato chips. You can't eat just one. You can't eat just one. What in the world is going on here? That's a spiritual squirrel. A spiritual squirrel. Here's the thing, church. We need to measure ourselves, not somebody else, against God's standard. Ask for forgiveness where you need it, and then renew your effort to put your faith into practice. The law is one unit, and to break one law is to become guilty of the entire law. The Jewish theologians of the day would have disagreed with James, saying that some laws were light and some laws are heavy, meaning that breaking some laws was not as serious as breaking other laws. That's not true. If you break any part of the law, you've broken the law. We can't categorize it. It might seem that stumbling on the act of showing favoritism is breaking one of those least or lesser commandments, but is not as nearly as bad as murder or adultery. Here's some more fill in the blanks. But God's law was not written with heavy and light. It's not written with heavy and light. It commands obedience to some outweighed obedient. It commands, let me read this the way I put it down. But God's law was not written with heavy and light commands so that obedience to some outweighed obedience to others. Believers are called to consistent obedience, everyday obedience. James chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 says, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty, for judgment without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Here's a fill in the blank for you. As Christians, we are saved by God's free gift of grace through faith, not by keeping the law. There is a war that goes on in the church realm, has gone on for years and years and years, about works and about being saved by faith, by grace, through grace. I'm going to show you tonight, or I'm going to at least start to try to show you. You really got to have them both. You cannot have one without the other. We're saved by God's free gift of grace through faith. But as Christians, we are also required to obey Christ. How many of you know that there's a ton of commandments in God's word or directives to do something? To do something, to be, I mean, go ye. What do you think that entails? Go ye. Make disciples. What do you think that entails? Reach the lost. The fields are white unto harvest. What do you think that means? You got to be about the business of God. Don't bury your talent in the ground. The Apostle Paul taught that we must all stand before Christ and be judged in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 for our conduct. This is what it says: "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Here's some more fill in the blanks. God's grace does not cancel. God's grace does not cancel our duty to obey him. It gives our obedience a new basis. So the law is no longer an external set of rules, but it is a law that sets you free. One we joyfully and willingly carry out because we love God and we have the power of His Holy Spirit living in us. Here's another fill in the blank. Obedience must be a lifestyle and a habit. So whenever you speak and whatever you do covers all human behavior. The believer will be judged on the basis of our obedience to God's will as expressed in His law. How many of you know the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And so even though God has accepted those who believe in Him, we're still called to be obedient to Him. But here's another fill in the blank for you. But His law is not a burden. His law is not a burden. Instead, it sets us free because we are obeying out of joy. We're not, listen, don't misunderstand me. We're not obeying so that we stay saved. Because if that's the case, you're saved by your works. And you're not. But we are called to be obedient. We're to be doers and not hearers only. Right? So His law is not a burden. Instead, it sets us free because we're obeying out of joy. We are grateful that God has given us the freedom from sin's penalty and the Spirit to empower us to do His will. Here's another fill in the blank. Only God in His mercy, only God in His mercy can forgive our sins. How many of you have ever caught God off guard? No takers? God's not sitting up there going, didn't see that one coming. He's not wringing His hands over your whatever it is that you're doing. He's not going, oh man, I... No, He wants to walk us through those things. Hello. We have to walk through some things. We can't earn forgiveness by forgiving others. Not how it works. However, when you withhold forgiveness from others after you have in fact received forgiveness for yourself, we show that we don't really understand and we really don't appreciate God's mercy towards us. Because when you and I realize what God's done in forgiving us, we're going to want to forgive that to other people. And when you don't forgive somebody else, here's a shocker for you. If you don't forgive other people, they're not affected by it. You are. You're the one that's miserable. Well, I don't care. I'm not going to do it. Well, just be happy. Because it ain't going to get any gooder than what you're getting now. Unforgiveness doesn't really affect the other person. I was talking to somebody at one point and at trying to convince them that, listen, you need to forgive this person, and I'm not doing it. I just hope they fry in hell. I said, the sad truth is, you'll probably fry right alongside them. Because the Scripture says you're to forgive the way you want to be forgiven. I forgive you. Now, understand, there was justification, I guess, could have been applied to that situation to where you probably wouldn't really want to forgive that person. But listen, God probably should not have forgave you for what you did either. So we've got to begin to look at things through the eyes of the Word, through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, through the eyes of God. And if God can forgive you and me, we ought to be able to forgive one another. Because when you forgive one another, that forgiveness is what sets you free. It sets you free. We can't earn forgiveness when we withhold it from others. After having received it, we show that we don't really understand. Mercy is precisely what the believers were not showing when they were insulting the poor people. We talked about that last week. If they continue to discriminate, they would be in danger of facing their own judgment without mercy. Here's some more fill in the blanks. It's an excellent statement of the New Testament ethics. What we do to others, we actually do to God. And He returns it upon our head. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Hello, Moto.
It's okay. Is that God? Not. I was hoping it was. Listen, it happens. Don't worry about it. It's all right. This is an informal Bible study. Phones ring, don't they, Tim? Okay, just check. He's my brother. I can pick on him. Where am I at, Michelle? Oh, yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. James contrasted two attitudes. Two attitudes. Showing mercy to others and refusing to show mercy. Here's some more fill in the blanks. If we have been merciful towards others, God can be merciful towards us. The reality is God's pretty merciful to us all the time. But it doesn't mean that we can earn mercy by showing mercy, because it's impossible to earn mercy. In fact, here's some more fill in the blanks. If it is earned, it's not mercy. If you have to earn it, it's not mercy. Nor does it mean that we should be soft on sin and never judge it in the lives of ourselves or others. Mercy and justice both come from God, so they're not competitors. Where God finds repentance and faith, He is able to show mercy. And where He finds rebellion and unbelief, He must administer justice. It's the heart of the sinner that determines the treatment that he gets.
Is this still working?
Finally, the word is called the law of liberty. It's called the law of liberty because God sees our heart. Aren't you glad about that? He sees our heart and He knows what we would have done had we been free to do so. So the Christian student that obeys only because the school has rules is not really maturing. In fact, when the Bible says to be perfect even as I am perfect, He's not talking about perfection the way we in America think about perfection. What that word perfect means is maturity. He's saying grow up. Grow up. There are literally folks that have been in church professing to be Christians, and they've really never grown from being born again into adulthood. They're still sucking on the bottle. They're still eating ground up baby food, if you will. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and said, you know, you really need to teach the deep things of God. And I said, well, I don't see you on Wednesday. Don't normally see you on Sunday night. Well, all you preach about is salvation. Well, what would you rather I do with 100 people here on a Sunday morning and 30 on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night? When do you think is the best time to preach salvation? When you've got that audience. This is called Bible study for a reason. It's called discipleship. I'm trying to get God's Word into you so you can take it out there and use it. They get unhappy when you talk that way. They'd choke on it. God's Word can change our heart and give us the desire to do God's will so that we obey from an inward compulsion, not outward constraint. Took me forever to figure out that God wants me to be in his family way more than he ever wanted me out of it. Because, see, church, we model our Heavenly Father oftentimes after our earthly father. And if he was a disciplinarian and a taskmaster, if you will, then oftentimes that's the way we see God. But I'm here to tell you, as one that lived with a dad that was pretty strict, in fact, he was really strict, he didn't tell you anything twice. He told you one time. And if you didn't get it, he used Braille from then on. You get my drift. And he didn't care where you were at.
I'll just carry on here because
there's one obvious message in this section, and it's this. Our belief should control our behavior. If we really believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God is a gracious God, that His Word is true, and one day we'll be judged and stand before Him, our conduct will reveal our conviction. Listen, I'm born again. I'm saved by grace. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've been washed in the blood. Do I blow it? Yep. Do I repent? Yep. Do I get back up and move on again? Yep. Yes. We have to do that. Do I learn by it? Before we attack those that do not have an orthodox kind of a doctrine, we better be sure that we're practicing the doctrines that we defend. Our pastor told us, if you're going to err, err on the side of grace. Err on the side of grace. God can straighten out a lot of things. How many of you heard the story of Jonah? Great guy. Loved fish. Jonah had a wonderful theology, and we don't have time to get into it all tonight, but I want to close with this. Jonah had wonderful theology, but he hated people, and he was angry with God. Jonah, what? I want you to go to Nineveh. What for? Well, because I want you to tell the people of Nineveh to repent. I ain't doing it. Nineveh's right over there. I'm going this way. God said, no, I really want you. I'm just paraphrasing, so please don't shoot me. Okay, I'm just telling the story. Jonah said, God said, listen, I need you to go tell me. He's like, I'm not doing it. I don't like them people. God said, I really need you to go and talk to them. You ever had to do something you really just didn't want to do? So you know the rest of the story. He gets thrown in the ocean because things are going really, really bad. Gets swallowed by some fish for 3 days. And then, what was he doing for 3 days? Here's a thought. He was dead. But he got brought back to life and puked up on the beach. Had whale stuff all over him. But I don't think you spend 3 days in the belly of a whale and not be dead. I'm just saying. Whatever it was. Yeah, he was in the belly of something. How many of you know when Jonah hit the beach, he's ready to preach? He just marched his little happy self right down there to Nineveh. He was not happy. God is a merciful God. And Jonah knew, if I do, he's going to forgive them. If I go preach to them, God's going to forgive them. And we should just have him have a mic so that everybody can hear what he's saying too. But it's true. Jonah's like, if I go tell them, they're going to repent, God's going to forgive them, and I just really don't like them. No, he didn't. And he was hacked off at God. I knew it. He had a wonderful theology, but he hated the people of Nineveh, and he got angry with God. You can read about it in Jonah chapter 4. One of the tests, here's your last fill in the blank. One of the tests of the reality of our faith is how we treat other people. Whoop! How we treat other people. Or do we talk about them? Do we can't wait to... One of the tests of the reality of our faith is how we treat other people. My last question. Can we pass the test? Can we pass the test? How do we treat one another? I want to treat people the way I want to be treated. Kind, loving, gracious, forgiving, all those kinds of things. Merciful. Did anybody miss any of the fill in the blanks? What'd you miss, Tim? Just for you, Bill. The law. Yeah. Where are you at? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Very good. Good job, guys. Any questions? Yes? I think he left him just like that, just so he had to remember. He'd been laying in all that nasty stuff in there. It's all bleached out. Nasty. Shoo! Listen, when God tells you to do something, here's a clue. Go do it. Amen? Huh? Oh, he became an evangelist. First place he went to was Nineveh. Yes, sir. Yep. It's so true. Oh, man. Kick it, bro. That, I'll do the preaching. You just sit there. Exactly how we are. Every one of us. Even you sweet ones. I've seen you kicking rocks out there in the parking lot. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you that we can look seriously at your word and yet have fun doing it. Lord, a teaspoon of sugar helps the medicine go down, and your word says that laughter is a great medicine. Lord, you said the joy of the Lord is our strength, and you said that a broken spirit dries up the bone. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be joyful, be happy, be shining lights of the goodness of God. You've been so good to us. God, so many answered prayers. Lord, we thank you for Gene and for Harry and for Mike and for Mark and for Carolyn and Lindsay and all the different ones, oh God, that we've been lifting before you in prayer. Lord, we pray for Alex tonight. We pray for any other person tonight that I'm not even thinking of in my mind of who all we've been praying for, Lord. But I pray for the prayer request that came across the way today from Randy. Lord, the name slips my mind, but Lord, you know who she is and that's had this possible stroke. God, we just pray that you would just reverse the effects. Reverse the effects, Lord. And I thank you for that. And God, I just pray that you'd go with us. Bring us back together, the ladies, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, right here. Bring us back Friday night, 7 o'clock, movie night. Sunday morning, church time. Pray that somebody gets saved. Amen. Pray, bring somebody to church. Lord, I pray right now that you begin to loose somebody right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you'd put it in somebody's heart tonight to tell somebody, drag them in here kicking and screaming, we don't care. God, we'll be careful to give them the good, solid word of God that if they would just believe in him, that Nineveh can be forgiven. And they can too. So Lord, go with us now. Protect us the rest of this week. Give us each one a great night of rest tonight. Help us to sleep well. Help us to wake up refreshed. I know allergies have been just going crazy. I pray, God, that you would just reverse all of that stuff. I pray that the rains would literally wash the pollen out of the air and reduce the effects of these allergies, Lord. And I thank you for that. God, we stand against cancer in Jesus' name. We stand against it. Science and doctors say that cancer is cells in rebellion. We know that rebellion is as of the sin of witchcraft. And so, God, we rebuke cancer in Jesus' name. We rebuke it. We send it back to the pit of hell from where it came. God, we stand strong on your sure word. It says, by your stripes we're healed. And I thank you. Thank you tonight for watching us by way of the internet. I hope and pray that you were able to fill in your sheets online, however that works. I don't know, but we just thank you for that. And I just pray that you would just be blessed. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your week, church, and we will see you Friday. Good night.